to. Okay, Rabbi Isai, welcome to Daf Chof Dalet in Nida. Hey, Tav Shin Samach. Hey. And I think we should begin once again at the beginning of this sugya on Daf Chof Gimel Beis. We're talking about over here now problems in the Tzuras Havlat. Now let's, I feel terrible that people don't come on time and go over inyonim that are very chamurim and that people miss out on it. We've been talking up until this time about various mutations. Not problems, but mutations. In other words, not that there's some recognizable vlad, except that there's a problem in a particular aver or a particular avar. We're talking about true mutations in which something comes, it looks similar to something else, but it's no longer human in a normal sense.
Does Al realize these are mutations? How do they explain these things?
What do you mean? By definition, that's what a mutation means. What's the chance of mutations? I mean, you mean that they know it's caused by DNA? It's a mutation. The mechanism isn't important. I mean, the rest of humanity found out about this 50 years ago. So, mechanisms aside, halakha anyway is a concern with mechanisms, concern with growth effects. So, we're talking up until now about the idea of mutations. Now, we're going to talk about the idea of problems. There's a tremendous difference between the two. Because remember that even though the extreme mutations that we were talking about until now do not live. No, they won't live at all. We didn't see that as a problem in the Tumas Leda. Despite the fact that they won't live, Rabbi Meir was willing to say that a Tzuras Behema in an Adam is Imo Mitmea Leda. So one would think from there that the Chiyus, the ability to survive of the fetus, is not an issue. However, as we already saw, the reason that the Gemara gave for Rabbi Meir being metame these things is because hayal uveminay choya. And that's a very telling statement. Because what Rabbi Meir was saying there is that even though the phenotype doesn't survive, and this particular organism will not survive being born to a human, however, such a tsura, where that is the genotype, will survive. There's such a species that looks like a cow. So there's cows all over the world. They're walking around. They're perfectly happy. This particular cow is a mistake. But Lamaisa, what I see is a suitable to live organism. It has problems only because of where it came from. But there certainly are organisms that manage to survive like this. And there's nothing clearly wrong. It happens to be that it's in a human, and therefore it's a gross mutation, and it's not going to survive at all. But those things are not seen. Again, Allah is not concerned with the invisible. It's concerned only with the visible. So I see it in a human, I know it won't survive. In terms of its tzura is perfectly survivable, even though this won't survive. Correct? Says Rabbi Meir, I don't need to be metame laid up that the particular fetus will survive. I need that it should be a tzura of a goof that has survival capabilities in the world. The next step that we saw was an even bigger chiddush. Next step that we saw was a mutation in which part of a body is similar to one species and part is another species. Okay? Such a thing will not survive anywhere. Kimura. It's not going to survive. However, so Tosfos is bothered by this. If it's not going to survive, Tosfos before, we had on Chof Gimel, where we started discussing this issue. It's a gufo tayishu panav adam, let's say. It's certainly not going to be chai anywhere. It's not going to be miskai. So how do we explain that? So Tosfos' approach to the sugya is, because each thing that we see is capable of survival. So a head that is human, there's plenty of human heads out there. A body that's a goat, there's plenty of goat bodies out there. The combination, okay, fine, the combination doesn't work. But there's no pagam There's no gross pagam in any element of the organism that leads us to say this thing is not the tzura of a thing that can survive. Okay? Now the Gemara is beginning on a new sugya. The new sugya that we started yesterday was where we have Omarava Veshtei Nakuv is what we started with. 5 lines up from the bottom. Now here already we're talking about something else completely. We have a viable organism, qua organism. There's something clearly wrong with it though. It's broken. That's a different issue. Even with the pun of Adam and Gufa Tayish, it's not broken, it's just put together wrong. But no piece of the puzzle doesn't work, each piece works. Over here, it's not that it's put together wrong, it's broken. So now the shaila is, what amount of chiyus does there have to be in an uber in order for it to be matami? Now, the answer to that is absolutely none. Because if a woman gives birth to an embryo that's broken up into pieces, she's still going to be tamei later. Even if you hold it epsher l'ptichat hakever below dam, okay, l'maisa she's going to be tamei stam, but here's going to be tamei later, and she'll be tamei as a suffix. If it's in the cave, she'll be tamei for 14 days. She will not be able to come to Torah before. So then, what are we talking about the cloth? Because if this embryo l'maisa was not broken, it's just that it became broken. It was busted up inside. It started off as a regular fetus. Suffered trauma. That trauma destroyed it. Okay? That's not a pagam in the embryo. Who says that a vlad has to be alive? It has to be shayach to live. This was also shayach to live. But if I see that mitchilas briyosei, it's not shayach to live, it was made broken, so then already the Gemara is taking for granted, made broken is not considered to be a fetus that's betame the mother. Lamaisa will see later that a marker for this in the Torah is from the hemshech of the psukim, the Yishaki Tazriya v'yalda zachar, is immediately followed that v'yom ha'shmini yimo b'zara losa. So if he's shayach to having a yom ha'shmini, fine. He's not shy to having a Yom HaShmini, then he's not considered to be a Vlad.
Isn't there 30 days?
It's worse than that. We'll see. There's other issues that are involved over here. That's Gabi Kopeya Adinim Nefel. When a Nefel can be Metame. Let's say that a woman gives birth to a Nefel. She gives birth in her 5th month. She's still going to be Tame late. Right? This is because there's nothing wrong with. There's nothing broken in the fetus. It's just that it was born before it has a chance to survive. That's a different issue. So there's many different pieces that need to be considered over here. It's not a simple question. We mustn't take for granted that a child has to be living in order to be Matami the mother, nor that in this particular delivery it should have to be able to survive. It's also not true. It could be a nafa, it still be Matami the mother. In many cases where he peel of any or that might peel and so on. I mean, clearly, we're not talking about living beings there, right? Okay, so we need to clearly distinguish between the pieces of the puzzle, the viability of the puzzle, the question of each piece not being broken, and then the shaila of trauma, whether it's mitchilas briyosei, whether it became broken. Now, there's different levels of a chisorin which is broken. When we say broken, we can mean broken in the sense that such a thing wouldn't be viable long term. Broken in the sense it wouldn't be viable for a year. To be up to Yud Beis Pedek. Broken in the sense that it won't live Ad Yom HaShmini, which is the marker in the Torah. Rashi and Taisus here make the question dependent on whether it has ultimate viability. So even if you hold Trefa in Achaya, and they learned the Gemara Kapshuta, if you hold Trefa in, I'm telling you one thing, that Zikr was not kedai to miss out on this introduction to do the tremendous mitzvah of getting me tea, although I'm deeply appreciative I don't want to be held responsible for your miss in this introduction. It's even worse, because since you miss it in order to get me a drink, so I feel I'm a chuyav of what to start all over.
I'll catch up.
Not so pushing. Right. But I thank you deeply, but once again I protest. So now Tosis, Rashi Tosis take to Gemara Kipshuta. That if you hold Trefa in Achaya, then this Uber is broken. Not broken in the sense that it was traumatized, because that doesn't matter. If it's born dead, it's also Metame. But broken, Mitchilas Briyasa, it was formed broken.
Genetic.
Again, that word is talking about causes. But in other words, as far as we can see, Mitchilas Briyasa would develop this way. Nowadays, we would call it, though it's congenital. Huh? Oh, that we'll talk about in a minute, that problem. So therefore, says Rava, Vishto Nakuv Imotimeya. If it's born with a hole in the esophagus, the mother is tummy. Why? Because, apparently because he holds Trefa Chaya. So even though this is a Trefa, okay, but if Trefa can survive, Vishto Atum, on the other hand, if the esophagus doesn't go anywhere, can't survive, that's clear. And therefore, imo tahora. Now, there's many problems with the Tosfos and Rashi's pshat, that this is the machlokas, is gufa, nogea, trefa chaya, or trefa ina chaya. Even though the Gemara says that, you'll remember from yesterday. Gemara says it's dependent on that machlokas. One of the problems is that Rava elsewhere says beferish, the trefa ina chaya. Here it's Rava saying Trefa Chaya. Okay, so Tosfos says, well, it's Ika de Amri in Rava. There's two approaches to Rava. Okay, well, might we have to say that anyway based on the Gemara later on. But let's keep this in mind and continue. Tell me, Rabbona.
Chaya for a year?
Chaya means 12 months. It can live 12 months and beyond. In other words, at one point, ultimately, it dies, according to Moses. But that means that there's something wrong with its chiyas. But thus, it's not immediate. Tana Rabbanan, Hamapelet Guf Atum, Eini Mot Me Aleda. If the fetus is Atum, so it's missing a piece, not the sense of Atum that we used earlier, that it doesn't go all the way down, but Atum means that it's sealed, in other words, there's no continuation. So there, Eini Mot Me Aleda. Now, what exactly is a Guf Atum? Is there a Guf Atum? Rabbi Omer Kadeshi Natel Menachai V'yamut. The shear of a gufatum is that a living being wouldn't be able to survive without that part that's going to be missing. V'kama Yinatel Menachai V'yamut, what is that shear? So Rabbi Zakkai Omer Ad Arkuva, this means Ad Ad Bechlal, in other words, Lamala Men Arkuva. We saw the shear in Chulin. And that's what makes it a trefa. Okay? Now again, the Arkuva, it's not visible on a ruminant. It's visible only on a camel, whatever the Gemara explains. The arkuva that we see in the middle is an ankle. It looks like a knee, but it's not a knee. It's the ankle of the leg, except that the cow's leg, and the ungulate's leg, is very long. Foot, I mean, when I said foot, I meant foot. It's the foot, right? The ankle of the foot. So the human foot is flat. But those bones in a cow are extended downwards. Exactly the same structure. It just shapes longer and goes downwards instead of flat. So that's not what we're referring to. That's what looks like a knee, but it's not a knee, it's an ankle. The knee is actually hidden in the thighs because the meat goes across all muscles so big. They cover the knee, and a camel, you see all the way on top. That's why it looks like it has too many parts to it. But that's actually its knee, because the bottom thing is an ankle, even though it's in a place where a human, say, oh, that's my knee. So people think an animal doesn't have an ankle. It only has a knee, and they're going straight down, but that's not true. That part on the bottom, that's the ankle. Here we're talking about the knee. Actually, the Rosh holds that the Arkuva includes the entire shoulder in terms of trefas. Okay, but I mean, that's not our subject. Rabbi Yonai says, Adonai Kavav, has to go even higher. In other words, it has to go basically up to the genitals itself. So in other words, according to him, Trefer Chaya, if we take this to be dependent on that, and if it's missing, Adonai Kavav, so then that's Mamish, the Gemara and Chulin, that talks about removing the entire thigh, but it would be Adonai Kavav. Entire thigh is removed, so then already has a difference of an Avela Michai. And that for sure is Betami. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Mishur Rabbi Yosi ben Yoshua, Ad Makom Taburo, it has to go all the way to the navel. Now, Bein Reb Zakkai Reb Yonai, Reb Zakkai's pshat, which was that the shear was the simplest one, Adar Kuva, that's a din of Trefus. So he apparently holds Trefa Einachaya, whereas Rabbi Yonai, who says, no, that's not enough. The mother will still be Kamea later, holds the Trefa Eschaya. Maritzava Trefa Chaya, Maritzava Trefa Einachaya. How about the difference between Rabbi Yonai and Rabbi Yochanan? Well, Rabbi Yonai is simply saying, Rabbi Elazar is Krat Mechulin. He could be neither Rabbi Elazar. The Omer Rabbi Elazar, Nitel Yerech, Bechalal Shalav, Nevela. That if it's missing now the Yerech, so the thigh is removed, the entire bone is removed with the muscle. So otum from that level on is l'nekavav. That's already an avela. Therefore, a fetus like this is not considered to be viable. It's broken. Again, we explained earlier, a fetus doesn't have to be viable. A fetus can be dead, and it's still metame, the mother. It's nothing less viable than a dead fetus. But the point over here is that the tsura needs to be workable, and the death needs to be coincidental, so to speak. It's dead, fine, but could it have worked if it wasn't dead? That's the shaila. So over here, we're saying, if it's an avela michaim, it couldn't have worked. Therefore it's not matame late. Now, again, according to Rashi and Taisvis, the issue in the Gemara is Kipshuta. The Gemara says it's dependent on Trefa Chaya, Trefa Inachaya, or whether you hold that this level is considered to be Nevela Michaim or not Nevela Michaim, and that's the whole issue. The problem is that you find, first of all, many steers because of this. The mocker that we have in the Gemara later on is Miyom HaShmini, Imo Besar Lato. So where do we, I mean, Trefa Chaya is 12 months, and what does it have to do with Miyom HaShmini, Imo Besar Lato? To be able to survive until it's 8 days. I mean, here it says, it's dependent Trefa Chaya, that's 12 months. Secondly, the Rambam, for instance, maybe you find this all over. Paskins both in him. He paskins it over here, you need Ataburo, and he paskins Trefa Chaya. Of course, it's a steer in the Gemara. And many such dinim seem to be unrelated, but the Gemara is making them related. So the Ramban's approach, together with many other Rishonim, is that the Gemara doesn't mean literally the problem over here is whether Trefa Chaya or Trefa Chaya. The issue over here is the definition of humanly sustainable life. Because where we were talking about before, animals, mutations, or even mixtures, each piece of the puzzle, as we explained, has in it, in terms of being a genotype, an ability to survive. An animal that really is made with these particular genes goes walking around all the time. Of course, it doesn't have the face of a human. Fine, but there's plenty of humans that have faces of humans. Every once in a while you see that. And therefore, that kind of face is also workable. It was put together wrong. I understand, that's the mutation. Even if it wasn't put together wrong, it's a mutation. It's in the wrong place. It's definitely not going to survive. But that's as an individual. But each piece works. That's what's important to me. What we're talking about over here is something that is supposedly completely in order, but it's broken. I see the gross effect of its brokenness. Tainiz Ramban, what we're looking for over here is not a problem of trafus. That's not the issue, whether this individual could have lived. We're coming to define how broadly the Tsuras Adam is meant when the Torah says Isha ki tazriya v'yalda zachar, or yalda nevin mekeba telet. That's what we want to know. What is within the norm of that? We're using now the borrowed terms of trefa chaya or nevela michaim. Not that that's the actual halacha of its kobe. It's not because it's a trefa that we're saying that ima is not tamea leda. If it's dead, it's a lot worse than a trefa. So clearly that's not the issue. But this is not considered to be the tsuras ha'adam, the way that organs are meant to be formed in order to survive. The way that we see that is, well, look, I mean, fact is, if your trefa ain't a chaya, it wouldn't survive for long term. So it's reasonable to say this is not part of the way organs are formed. But it's just a borrowed idea. It's conceptually similar. It's not that I literally have to hold a trefa ain't a chaya in order to say that this is the type of thing. Well, if I hold trefa ain't a chaya, that by definition, this is going to be the shear, I could hold a trefa ain't a chaya. But nonetheless, I could still conclude that in the norm, it's the norm includes 12 months worth of life. It's also included in the Tzura of Adam. And I could still pask an Ataburai in order for it not to be an Adam at all. So that's exactly what the Rambam does. So in other words, we have over here really two different issues, according to the Rambam and many other Rishonim. They're not directly interconnected. It's like a simon to us of what is considered to be a tsuras, a functional tsuras ha'adam. That's our question. Yeah. And again, there's yet a third issue, which is the premature delivery, which is quite a different question. Correct? Premature delivery is b'chlal not nogea. Obviously it's not going to survive at 40 days. But it's still a fetus that if it had been carried to full term, it could have survived. We don't care that it's alive or dead at this time. And the fourth issue is trauma. We don't care as long as it's in terms of its yetzira, in other words, genetically, it's normal. And all that happened over here is that it suffered a trauma, and therefore now it doesn't work. That's not called broken, not to be matame the mother. We're talking about in terms of tazria v'yolda, tazria v'yolda. What was the zera? What was the genetic potential? That's all that bothers us. Now, as Rabbi Yaakov asked, so if that's the case, why don't you have to be concerned that Lamaisa, if it has a hole in the esophagus, that was caused by trauma rather than was caused by Zuriya? And the fact is that there are indeed many Rishonim and Ramban among them who says, obviously, we're always going to have to be cheshish for a suffix. That what we see as a whole is a traumatic whole and not a genetic whole. Unless, I mean, we're familiar with the way in which such a whole develops. You know, if it comes as part of a syndrome and so on. But that's why there's a difference between the Veshto Nakuv or the Veshto Atum, in other words, and the Veshto Akuv. Fine. Now, this, says Rav Papa, all that we've been discussing about a improperly formed fetus is only where machlokas milamata lamal. We're talking about a guf atum that has not developed on its lower part. But if something is missing from top down, milamala lamata, afilu koldu tahara. So anything that would have affected the brain cage, kaput. This is not considered to be mitzura sa'adam. And therefore, even though it's perfectly okay up to its eyes, that's not a human fetus. If the skull is missing any part, then imo tohora. If the fetus is like a straight dekel doesn't have parts to all the way at the top. So over here, all of its limbs are basically connected in one place. All it has is the top. Doesn't have anything from the bottom. It looks like a tree. That's also the ima is tahora. Itma. Hamapelas mishupanav musmasim. How about if it has a squashed face? Rabbi Yochanan omar ima tmea. Rish Lakish omar ima tahora. Now we have to distinguish between levels of squishing. Okay, we talked about a sandal. Over there, the entire surah of the Guf is squashed. It's missing. We talked about musmasim over here, which is obviously a lot less than atum. It's there. It's just not very well articulated. But we're going to talk about cases later that are worse than musmasim, as we'll see. And it's important to distinguish between them. This is different halachas. So mishapanav musmasim, so far the Gemara reports that it's a machlok. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar imot me'ah, Rish Lakish amer imot tahora. So asks Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish, how can you say that the mother is tahor just because the face is squashed? Doesn't it say that hamapelet, we had this before, hamapelet yad chatucha v'regel chatucha, if there's a hand that has articulate digits, or a foot with articulated digits, imo temea leda, v'ein choshishim shema miguf atumbat, we're not concerned that maybe this limb was torn from a fetus that itself was atum, and that's why we're saying maybe everything else was missing this. No, that's not normal. We're not to be choshish that. V'im isa, if you're right in saying that a squashed face is enough to be matir the mother, what do we have to go all the way to say that shemen miguf atum? I mean, you could have said, we're not choshish that this is from a guf atum, or even mimisha panav musmasim. I mean, that's basically the extreme extension of gufatum, isn't it? Gufatum, I understand, it's not there at all. You're saying, even if it's squashed, the features are not well articulated. The nose is pressed all the way into the cheekbones. I mean, it's kind of things you see often. And that's considered to be not tamei leida. So, that's a much more reasonable chashash. Say it. Say, we're not worried that this limb came from a fetus that wouldn't have been matame because it was panav musmasi. Tosis points out, and is certainly not going to ask, let's say, every possible thing. I mean, that's ridiculous, you know. Maybe it came from something that was shaped like a fish. Maybe it was, let's have a list of 50 things that we don't have to be choshish. That's not the point. The point is that guf atum and panav musmasim are the same issue. It's just that panav musmasim is like a tremendous leap from an actual guf atum, but it's the same idea. It's as if it wasn't fully formed. It's missing its features. So that's atum. But it's such a bigger chiddush, it should have mentioned it. Omer of Papi, now look, Ovi, you got the whole thing wrong anyway. Let me tell you something. Pada musmasim kuli amalo pleaded. What are you talking about? Squashed faces. I mean, you walk outside, you find squashed faces walking by you all the time. Of course, the mother is tummy. Nobody argues about such a thing. Keep pleading upon of tuchot. We're talking about where I don't really recognize a fully human face. I have to look to find where the nostrils are on this face. That's a lot more than just squash.
What's the tuchot mean literally?
Tuchot, pressed inside, completely hidden, right? Talk about a Kodesh Baruch who knows Masha Betuchot, what is hidden, or in Yiddish say Atuchas, for the same reason, it's that which you sit upon and is hidden underneath. So first of all, we're talking about Panav Tuchot, and not only that, you got the whole Nusach wrong. Actually, it was the exact opposite, it was Ibcha, it was exactly the opposite, it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that the Imo Tahora, and it was Reish Lakish who said Imo Tmeah. Yeah, Rav Papi, thank you very much for your help. Okay? Now we'd like to get back to the question, because you shouldn't give us much help on the question. I mean, fine. What do you want us to do? Reverse it. So now, okay. Let Reish Lakish ask Rav Yochanan the same question we asked Rav Yochanan for Reish Lakish. I don't understand what you're trying to tell us. So now then, lo svei Reish Lakish for Rav Yochanan. So now let Reish Lakish now ask on Rav Yochanan the same question. Miha. From the same price.
It doesn't solve the problem.
It doesn't solve the problem. Oh, this is a problem. Of course it solves the problem. Because I understand that a squished face, you're right, it should mention separately from a gufatum. But panav tuchot is a gufatum. I don't have to mention it separately. you would have been right that if there's such a chiddush that you thought was being said, I'll leave the Reish Lakish, which I'm saying anyway was with Yochanan and Reish Lakish, but anyway, whoever it was, that even though the features are there, but they're not as well articulated, that's a big chiddush. But even that doesn't have to be automagam. But if I'm telling you tuchos, tuchos is atum. So, hainu guf atum, hainu mishapanav tuchot. Why should I mention it separately? Now, Bnei Rebbe Chiya Nofik for Kiryata. Bnei Rebbe Chiya, Chiya's children would go out every once in a while to check on the family fields. And oftentimes, when they would come back, so Rebbe Chiya would ask them what's happening in the world. You know, there's all kinds of interesting shaymas out there, maybe some new, you know, it was on the news today. I mean, by them on the news today was, you know, a good shayla came up today and so on. So when they came back, also the time of the Avun, no, klum maya ba maisele yadchem. Have any interesting shaylas out there? Omru lo, yeah, it was actually an interesting shayla. Funim tuchos boli yadim. I had a maisa, a woman who gave birth to a fetus that had a ponim that were completely tuchos. And we were metameyet. Amalaham, you were metameyet. Tzuvetaru mashitimet, you better go back to them and tell them that you're metayaret. Because you think you're being machner. You told them, no, you have to be chayshesh, it's a vlad. I'm sure you told them that, of course, it's only mitzvah sofek. Your mother's tummy, because maybe it was in a cave, she should be tmeya for 2 weeks. And of course, there's no yemei tire. I'm sure you told them that. A lot of good it's going to do. Everybody's going to hear that the mother was tummy 2 weeks. And then the next time there's a shiloh with one of two chayshes, they'll say, oh! Reb Chiya's children fasted this 30 years ago, and they said it's a real Leda, and she has Yemei Tayar, until the 80th day she's Tahira, because it was in a cave up, God only knows. You can't make a Chumrah, because it's a Chumrah that's going to end up becoming a Kula. So, Mada, take a Chumrah. Chumrah de Asile de Kulahi. The Keyavitu la Yemei Tayar. The end result is, it's going to be said over in your name that this woman has Yemei Tayar. Itma. Hamapelet briyash yeshla shnei gabim ushtei shigraot. How about where you have now a fetus that has two completely separate bodies? In other words, it has two backs, two sets of vertebrae, ribs, and one head. Yeah, lemaisa, that's how it happens, but what it looks like is a single...
One head and two bodies?
One head and two bodies. Actually there were such cases, actual cases that came up in the literature of Shilas Betshuvas, and they asked these questions on the Gemara, because we'll see that according to Wama Diyama, there's no such thing. What do you mean there's no such thing? There's such a thing. We saw it. But obviously the question over here is norms. It's what is the Torah referring to? So you have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds like this. Look, be'isha in a vlad. You should know that such a thing is not considered to be viable. And be'behima osur ba'achila. If you find in an animal that you shechted such a thing, it's not kosher, even though you shechted the mother. And kosher came as a ben bakua. Kosher came if you shechted it after it was born. It's not kosher. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Be'isha Vlad. No, it's a regular Vlad. And with a behemoth, it's Mutter Ba'afila. Because it's kosher.
Has it been Bekua only or also?
Yeah, has it been Bekua only?
Has it been?
Ben Bekua means you shechted the mother and found it inside. But my commission, what are they arguing in? They're arguing about Rav Chanin Bar Abba's explanation of what the Torah means when it says Ezeh lo tochlu, and it adds Es ha-shesua. What is a shesua? The literal word shesua means something that was cut into two. So what is an animal that's a shesua? So Rav Chanin Bar Abba explained that a shesua is a biryash yeshla shnei gavim shnei shidraot. It's an animal that has two bodies, essentially. So Rav says, look, there's no such animal. There ain't no such animal. So what is he talking about? Bria b'yama less. So what then does the Torah mention as Yeshua? I mean, if there's no such thing. The Torah was talking about a mutation. V'chi agmerei rachmona l'moshe b'me'ei ima agmerei. What the Torah was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu was, if you checked a mother cow, you find in it a child, a fetus, that is a Yeshua, even though I said to you, Beima ba beima is kosher. If you find a fetus in a mother, it's kosher to eat. This is not kosher. What else could it mean? Since it can't be such a thing. The Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, no, there's such a thing. Bria b'yama yisa. There's such an animal. V'chiagmri rachmona l'mesha b'yama agmri. All the Torah was saying is, that's not a kosher animal. Avo b'me'ima sharia. If you find such an animal as a mutation inside of a cow, why wouldn't it be kosher? It's like anything else. It's kosher.
It's a piece of meat.
Yeah. Now, this is how Rashi learns. The Rabbi Nutam and many, many other Rishonim disagree. He said, of course, nobody in their right minds holds that there are herds of Shishtuas running around in the world. And that's the question, whether the Torah asked that particular species. There ain't no such species. That's for sure according to anybody. The machlokas over here is, when we're talking about there is such a thing in the world or isn't such a thing in the world, means, is there such a mutation that you would actually be able to see alive, or would it always die at birth? That's the question. So that is that, the shiloh over there, I mean, it boils down to the same issues. This is, we're not talking about a separate min. So according to Shmuel, it's saying, the Torah is saying, if this thing is born and you're shechted before it dies, it's not kosher. But inside of the mother, it is kosher. According to Rav, there's no such thing as an animal like that that could be born and live long enough to shecht. There's no such thing. Therefore, the Torah was answering it in the mother. Much more direct. According to that, of course, it would be direct application of the din of the behemah shesua to the human. Because as we've already explained, what we're looking for over here is not actual viability, but what is considered to be a tzura that is life-supportive. Okay, if you hold there's no such thing, meaning that it can't be born and walk around, then you're also saying that it's not going to be metamei the month. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bidvaro.
Amen.
V'shmuel amar birya b'yama. He said there is such a thing. V'chiyagmei rachmana l'moshe b'yama. The Torah was telling us not to eat such a delivered thing. Avo b'mei mashar. You find it inside of the mother. Why would it be awesome? And by the same token, in a woman, it's considered to be a blood. Aye, it's a mutation. Looks like something else. Fine. So, that was never a problem.
Why should this thing be different to all the other things
we've
done, all the other mutations? What's the big chiddush?
Because normally, the din is that anything that is yeter is kechaser. Wherever you have more of one, it's like you're missing. Obviously, if you would say that the human fetus over here is missing its spine, then it ain't like gufatum, God only said, right? Who's that? That should already make it for sure us.
I'm missing his head.
If he has two hearts, it would be...
Trafe.
If he has no heart.
Yeah, two hearts. Yeah, but you can live without a heart. Yeah, you can hook him up to a heart-lung machine. That's not considered to be. There's not a chisorn in the lathe. There's not a chisorn. What's wrong?
You gotta have heart.
All right. So now Reb Shimon Bar Chiya asks on Rav. The truth is, this is not only Akasha on Rav. However, Rashi explains why was he asking on Rav? Because he, even though Lamaitz it's on everybody, he was a grandson of Rav. And therefore, he was mutzui by Rav, but it's not that he was only asking on Rav's grounds. It's Kasha and Shmuel too, as we'll see. Rav Chanina ben Antignus omer, kol sheyesh lo shnei gavim b'shnei shidros, posel aved. Which Rashi learns means an animal. As a matter of fact, the words posel aved do not appear in Bechayres. Posel aved sounds like it's talking about a kain. And the, no, the truth is that many other Rishonim learn that posel aved is correct here. It's a reference to the kain.
I'm not
talking about an animal.
A
mum. It's posel aved as a mum. Or according to Rashi, we're talking about a animal. And it means it's posel as a carbon. But in any event, I mean, what are we talking about? Apparently it lives. Alma d'chaye. So you see that it certainly is chai. Not only is it chai, but I mean it's Sharon Shmuel too. Because I mean it's only a mum. We're not saying it's the wrong species. I mean it's a chai. Omar Lay, so Rav said to him, "I shimiyat, my little shimi." He always says that. Rav always says shimiyat. So Rashi says he says shimiyat because he's his grandson. He liked him, but there's a tshuva zagainim, and Rashi says I heard this pshat that the reason that he says shimiyat is because Rav never looked to either side. He never looked up. He always looked down. So Mamela, he didn't know who spoke to him until he heard the sound of the voice. So when Rav Shimi asked him, Mikasha, he would say, "Oh, it's you, Shimi." No. But Rashi says, I mean, so how come he never said that to anyone else, anywhere in Shas? It's always Shimi out. It's an amazing coincidence. Right? Lamaisa, the two pshatim are not necessarily a stira. In other words, what he's going to stop and say to another person, "Oh, Yosiat." I mean, it's, of course it's Mishum Chavivuse, but why is this the way that he expresses his Chavivus? "Oh, you shimmy." Because he really meant, "Oh, you shimmy. I didn't know who you were." Right? But it's not 100%. It's interesting that this Sanhaga, my father's Hatzal told me, that when he was growing up, his father, my grandfather, also had this anaga, never ever looked to either side, and never looked up, always looked down. So if he would play hooky, or he was doing something, he didn't want his father to see him, he didn't have to hide. He could stand there, he just didn't say anything. His father could walk right by him, wouldn't have the slightest idea that he was there, as long as he didn't say anything. So it's mama's the shimia. Alright. So anyway, he told him, Shimiyat. That doesn't mean literally that the guy has, what you're talking about, a Siamese twin over there, if you hold like those we showed you, that's the coin, or it's talking about a carbon, literally, which they should go, "Oh, do you think that's only a mum?" It's talking about Shidroto Akuma. That's referring to over there, the case of Rav Chanina. Of course, that didn't literally have two gabi. It had scoliosis, so bad. That made it look as if it had two separate spines. But there would never have been such a thing if Shnei Shidrot. Meisei. Yeshu uvarim shein asurim. You can find now the fetuses of animals that have been born already that remain usur mishum nevela, even though you shech them. Because be'etzem, even though they show signs of life, they're dead. Like in the veil of Michaim. What do I mean? Like this. Ben arba'a ledaka, if you have a fetus that is 4 months old in a small animal, or ben shimona legasa, or 8 months old in a gasa, the normal gestation for small animals is 5 months, and for large animals is 9 months. If you have something that is 4 months, and 8 months, respectively, less than that, anything less than that, so in other words, it hasn't entered its ninth month, or it hasn't entered its fifth month, is usur. It's like an avela. It has no shaykhus to living. And of course, we're talking about that it was born already for him. It was inside the mother, not wouldn't be a problem. It was a ben
bekuch. Premature.
And it was born premature. So even though it looks to be alive, it's not, doesn't have a din. of being alive, as it did have been available. Babet, I'm sorry, Kut Yotza. However, this does not include Mishi Yeshua, Shnei Gavi, Vishne Shidraot, not including a fetus that has two Gavim and two Shidraot. Now, explain that to me. What does it mean, Yotza? My Yotza. Doesn't that mean, to my love, Yotza Michlav Ubarim, that such a thing is never kosher? Even if it had been found in the mother, it wouldn't have been kosher. Shafil bimeim anasuri, and that's according to Shmuel, steer it to the way he understands it. According to Shmuel, if it's a ben bakur, it's perfectly kosher. No, yotza even full term shnei gavim v'shnei shidraot.
Going back to the if they survive, there's always korban aveda.
No, once they survive 30 days, then they're yotzei mechlal
neif. After 30 days.
Right. But you have to assume that they're dead. Because they have a din of being a nevela.
Until 30 days.
Yeah. We have the same thing at Houston. You have the same thing by a human. On the eighth month, a woman who delivers in her eighth month, you weren't allowed to move in on Shabbos. It's a muktzah. It's like it's dead. I said, now that we have a different technology.
To say
no, that's also in Shabbos. It's dead already. So now, Rav matarz atayim, Shmuel matarz atayim. Rav explains this brisa the way he understands halacha. Shmuel explains it the way he understands halacha. Because the truth is that the brisa does not seem to make much sense according to anybody. Even according, it's not a kasha on Rav, but it's also not a well-formed brisa according to Rav. Because it started off talking about premature delivery, and all of a sudden it switches to Ben Bakuetz. I'm talking about the Shnei Shidraot, right? I mean, that's strange, without any indication. According to Shmuel, it's Mamash Kasha, and according to Shmuel, it's kosher, the Shnei Shidraot. Here it says it's not kosher. So Rav explains like this. He says, look, Ben Arbaladaka, Ben Shmuel Lagasa, anything less than that is an avela. Of course, that means it's an avela when it's not a ben bakua. It's found now out in the world there. Aval bimei imo shori. However, once it's, and while it's still in its mother, then it's no different than any other ben bakua. It's perfectly kosher. But yotza mishi yeshlo shnei gavim v'shnei shidraot. If it has two backs, then even in its mother, it's not kosher. Now that's perfect. According to Rav, right? That's exactly the thing. Okay. Now the price makes perfectly good sense. How about Shmuel? Shmuel metayitz atayme. Shmuel explains like this. Ben arba'a ledaka. Ben shmona legasa. Imenu lamata asa. Okay. That much is the same now as Rav. Vamed vanoma b'shelo kavulo chadasha. This is only if it wasn't a full term. Okay, and then now it's going to be possible unless it was inside of her. But if it's full term, kolol chadasha would be mutter, except a full term delivery of mishiyesh lo shnei gavim u'shnei shidraot, the apagav the kolol chadasha, there, even though it's not premature, it's still yotzei l'avir olam aser, but of course bimei imo, it would be mutter, just like the other things. Okay? A completely different interpretation. So in other words, Shmuel says, the meaning of the price is like this. A premature delivery is an avail. Inside of the mother, it's kosher. Except for Shnei Gavim, Shnei Shidraot, which even if it's not premature, it's also usher if it was delivered. It's a different way of looking at the price. But the brisa is not a serious problem to Shmuel.
What about all the other things?
Tani Tanaka made a rap. Hamapelet briat guf she'eno chatuch. Or briat rosh she'eno chatuch. Yachol tehei imot me alida. How about if we find over here a body that doesn't have articulate limbs or a head? Doesn't have articulate parts. You might think the mother is Tamei Aleda, תמוד לומר אישה כי תזריע ויולד הזכר, וביום השמיני אימו בשר ארלתו. מי שראוי לברית שמונה, someone who can live till the eighth day. יצאו אלו שאינן ראויים לברית שמונה. But these type of things cannot live till the eighth day. Now, again, there seems to be a contradiction. Here we're introducing a new issue. If you learn the way Rashi and Tosfos were learning, that the question of treifa chai or eino chai is literal. It's a question, can it survive for 12 months? Then what do we bring in Ovir Pasek? It says 8 days? So it's going to get 12 months. So there are indeed those who learn that this Gemara is arguing on the Gemara before and holds that the thing that would define it is not 12 months, but indeed a new halacha of 8 days. They have to have chiyus that can survive for 8 days. A new din. No, because that's a gilui already. That's what's called birth. No, in the cave is a different issue. It doesn't mean literal. By the way, there's another girsa here. What happened?
I think I touched my foot.
And you drew. Oh, you have. Okay, it's fine. And there's another girsa that says not brit shmona, but brias neshama. Which is marumas in brit shmona. That answers your problem about the Mekeva. That's a two different gears. It doesn't bring those three other gears. But there is, however, a way out of it. And the way out of it is like this. That there's a fifth category. We talked about four categories, right, of problems. But there's a fifth category. The fifth category is that there's nothing now that is broken. There's just a question of unfinished. So it could be that there's a nafkamina between unfinished and broken. So if something is broken, then that which defines broken in terms of its tzuris v'lad is either treifas or nevelas, depending on if you hold treifa chai or eino chai. If it's unfinished, not the pshat that we see that it's broken, something broken. Shaila is over here, we don't have a complete completion of the tzura of the v'lad. What defines that lack of completion? That's Yom HaShmini. So it's now a new criteria that applies to a different set of problems. If you hold this, there are those of the Achronim who say that therefore you don't have to say that there's a machlokas in the sugyas. So then we have now five separate sets of problems with embryos. Omale Rav. Rav, when he heard the Tana say that, he said, hey, you forgot a piece. Sayyem Bahaki, I want you to add to that brisa that also Shiesh lo shnei gabim v'shnei shidraot is not imo tamei olet. If you're already giving me the rules over here, then put in Yatsu Elu, including not only the case of Guf Sheino Chotov or Rosh Sheino Chotov, but Mishesh or Shnei Gabim, Mishnei Shidrot, that has the same halacha. This, of course, is Rav Lashitas, like the Isha in Avlad. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Sarvan Amevet Uvda Kavasid Ishmo. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba wanted to be Metame, a fetus, like Shmuel held, that had two Gabim and two Shidrot. Amalei Ravuna said to him, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? If the woman did not have Dam Leda, why is she Tameya? Unless, of course, you would hold that Yevshul Psychas Akever Blow Dam. Which is why some learn, Rashi learned it's talking about that there was a Leda Yavishta, there was no blood during the delivery. And Mamela, she would not be Tameya except if she was Tamei Leda. However, it would have been easy to say that he wanted to be Machmir, else maybe it was a Nekeva. Why say Dafka was a case of a Zohar? It was a case of a Nekeva. It was Matami 14 days, and he wouldn't have to get into all the question of Epshel Tichas Akever below down and so on, right? Because he's adding. It was Als Epshel Tichas Akever below down 7 days. How is it going to be Matami 14 days? So he said to my Daitek Lechumra, what are you trying to do over here? Trying to be mad around them. It's a chumah dasi v'day kulav. Dikei yahavta la demei Torah. You're ending up, people are going to learn from you that they can also rely that this was a real birth. And we paskin like Rav. And the way to handle this is to paskin like Rav, even Lakula. Avi miyakavasi the Rav, the kainalan yokosak Rav be isurin. Bein Lakula, bein Lakula. You have a right to be certain if I'm Rav. There's no inyan to be makbar when it's a chumah. It's also the day kula. Amar Rav. Hare amru isha yoledet tisha yoledet b'shiva. You know what they say. That it's possible for a woman to have a full-term infant in 9 months, and it's possible for a woman to have a full-term infant in 7 months. What's the din of a behemah gasa? Does a behemah gasa that has the same normal gestation of 9 months also have a rare gestation of 7 months or not? So behemah gasa, yoledet l'tish'a, is it also yoledet l'shiva or lo yolda? Amra Nachum Bar Yitzchak, look, we just had the Brisa. The Brisa said, hey, menu lamata asor, if it's less than into its 9 months, then it's an avela. So apparently, I mean, referring to both the case of the Gasa and the Daka. And it's my lava Gasa, it's referring also to the case of the Gasa, that anything less than being the kololo 8 months is now going to be an avela. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Maybe that part that said that anything less was referring to behemah Daka. Come on, what do you mean behemah daka? Yeah, but b'shleima gasa. If you want to tell me that the Bryce is telling me a chiddush about a behemah gasa, so then it's a very good chiddush. It's sakdei chabina. Since I certainly would have suspected that holo be'isha chay be'behemah nami chay, but since in humans you find such a phenomenon, so maybe in animals you also find such a phenomenon, comes on the Bryce to say no such phenomenon. Mashmon, dolo chay. But Yama da Daka said, you're telling me what it's a reference to Behema Daka. So I mean, what are you saying? That what if it was only pregnant for 3 months, that it's an avela? Well, obviously, well, what did I think? That something I mean, didn't even have time to form properly. Pshita, I mean, Batlasi Yarchi Mikachel, what do you think? 3 months pregnancy, it's going to live? So I said, well, yeah, why not? It's your Chakatat Chamina. Look, I might have understood the phenomenon as meaning that kol botz treyarchich, that things that are less, are 2 months minus the normal gestation, just like we find by humans, and maybe by large animals too. So maybe there's such a thing as a 3 month delivery for a small animal. Kamashbon, there's no such thing. Omrib yidol mashmur, hamapelet dmut lilis. How about if the child has wings, like a gremlin? So, a woman has a gremlin. So it has some wings. What's that, Locha? It's also to be a leda, because this now is basically a sixth category. Here we're talking about it has a tzur of a vlad, plus. We never talked about that.
Plus is not a minus. Plus that isn't a minus. A plus.
A plus, yeah. Plus that isn't a minus. It's something that a normal vlad doesn't have. It has wings. So then, it's a vlad. What's wrong? It's a regular vlad. Why are wings absurd? What's wrong with having wings?
It's better than having like a six finger?
Six finger wouldn't problem us. You mean better than having an extra lung, which would be a traitor. But the wings are not going to pass on anything. And we learned this indeed. So the same halacha was Amr Atani Nami Yochi, Amr Yosi Maisa B'Simuni, V'Hakashi Pila D'Musulina. So it was indeed such a Maisa in Simuni, where somebody had a gremlin. What's wrong? It's a regular human, except it has wings. So what's the problem with wings?
There's
babies. Elishi Yishlof Kafayim. So it has wings. What's the
problem? Could it fly?
How about Amapela Dimut Nachash? A woman who miscarries a snake-like shape.
Yeah, this before.
Yeah, it's going to be Nagir the Gemara before. So here is Chanina. Chanina, who was Rabbi Yoshua's nephew, he paskened that the mother is Tomei. So Holak Rabbi Yosef, the Sipa Devarim Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Yosef went and squealed. Rabbi Gamliel didn't like it when people went around fascinating things that he didn't agree with, especially newcomers over here. Was this upcoming Chanina here? So he went and squealed on him. So Rabbi Gamliel sent a telegram to Rabbi Yehoshua, and he said, listen here, Yehoshua, bring your nephew. I want to talk to him. So on Haig Benaki Kauba. Anyway, he was in big trouble. So Bali Chatan, fortunately, as they were on their way, Hanina's daughter-in-law came out to greet Rabbi Yehoshua and said to him, Armalo Rebbe, Amapelakimina Kashmau, what's the din if you have a miscarriage of a snake shape? Amala, no tahora? Amrala, they said, you're kidding. My mother-in-law told me in your name that Ima Tumea. What? Said it in my name? Did she say what my reasoning was? Oh, yeah, she said that you said, oh, the galgal eno agukishalada. There's ice that is shaped like human eyes. Oh, mitot v'ramiska Rabbi Yehoshua, which reminded Rabbi Yehoshua that indeed that's the way he had Paskin. So he sent a telegram to Gamliel. He said, listen, it wasn't Hanina's own. No, leave the guy alone. He was basically quoting me. Mipi hora Hanina. Amra b'yishmanu, we see from here, that a mitzur b'mirabonu d'amar milsa tamut chochum, who gives a psak, he should always explain his reasoning. Lema b'a taimah. Because that way, when he hears years later people quoting him, they say, what? That's ridiculous. I never could have said such a thing. They'll remind him. Oh, that's actually pretty smart. Mitka, and that way he'll know that it's his. In fact, I see this all the time.
Because of the eyes. Because of the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes.
One of the red brothers.
Yeah. Well, it's our extension. Depending on one of the children in Rebbe.
Right.
Yes. Okay. I suppose we'll continue from here tomorrow. I want to review basically both pages if we can. We're missing too many people here. Who's Chasser? Hab and Richie are both in Eilat together. They're doing the daf together.
Sabah
Josh is missing, okay. Kalman, I don't know where after the Kalman.
Bernays
is in Chutzfaretz. So is our dear professor.
Missing mentally
after that. Yeah, well, okay, the mental missings, we try to talk to them anyway. That's a gufayatum.
This doctor seems a little bit...